Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geek though.
My lord! American Marketing! Quarter charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
And of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny! Do not bob at me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 119 of Three in the Box, the Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, January 9th. This is Aaron. This episode, we talk about streaks ending, World Juniors, and third jerseys, maybe? Maybe not?
Maybe.
In the studio with me, as always, is Kenny.
What up?
And on the other side of the table is Jive.
Howdy, folks.
So we had a couple weeks off. How was your New Year's?
My New Year's, I tried to go to bed early.
I'll be honest, I'm feeling like an old man because I was asleep before midnight.
I wish I was. I had to be up at 4:30 on New Year's Day.
I'm the grandpa here, and I was up till midnight, and you guys all passed out?
You kind of have to. It's in your name.
Oh.
Jive Midnight. Come on now.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah.
Nice dad joke.
Although we did have, we were at my in-laws in upstate New York, and they run a store. And since it's a bunch of old people that go to their store, they did a midnight at Greenwich Mean Time.
Oh, so it was like at 6 p.m.?
Yeah.
So they go get dinner at OCB first at like 3?
Right. This is a late night snack.
Oh.
So now hold on a minute here. You're out on the East Coast, so...
Actually, it would have been 7 o'clock because of five hours.
5 hour.
Ten o'clock our time.
Yeah.
And you can't stay up till midnight there?
No.
Oh,
that was the same goodness. Day I did the biathlon training. So, you know,
nice excuse.
Cross-country skiing for 2 hours and then shooting guns. Uh-huh. It tuckered this guy out.
All right.
What can I say?
We get what? 12 minutes of a game and then it's over?
Well, we got a lot to cover, so
we do.
Let's get into the Wild Weeks.
All right.
Weeks.
Plural. Yeah, weeks, plural. We got a little bit to cover here, but the Wild streak did finally come to an end at 12 games. Yep. We gave up our winning streak to the Blue Jackets, right?
They
went on, I think, to get, 16 in a row?
They were just shy of
Pittsburgh. 16, yep.
Yeah, and I think they went on to lose 3 in a row now, so I guess I'm happy we lost when we did, so, right?
Well, I don't like losing.
Well, then you're in luck, because the Wild have been doing actually pretty well still as of late. Specifically on the road, they've had some pretty good success. In their last 10 road games, they're 8-1-1. Not too shabby for playing on the road. And lately, they have been giving up some more goals. There's been a lot more high-scoring games, not the low-scoring Dubnyk games we're getting used to.
Not the Lemaire era anymore.
Right.
Right.
But, yeah, and that's it, though. We've also had some offense to go with that, so... it hasn't been too bad. I mean, I guess it's still pretty important to note, though, that the Wild still, even giving up all the goals they have lately, they're still second in the league in goals against. So,
yeah, I think they were like number four, tied for four for differential right now.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, I mean, the Wild, I mean, it's hard to, you know, have anything to argue about or complain about at this point right now. Things are going pretty well this season so far.
Doing all right.
Yep. I just want to know what you guys, you know, what do you attribute the success so far to? I mean, is it the new coach coming in? Is this team finally gelling?
It's Jason Pominville all the way.
Pominville. Yep.
Although
Pominville, I must say he's at least playing his role, right? I mean, he goes where he needs to go, plays on the line that he's told to play. He's not, you know, particularly being the player that disrupts the locker room because, you know, he's no longer on the second line or the first line or, you know.
Well, I think the big thing you're seeing this year is that you're seeing some of the guys where, you know, they've been singing praises for them for so long and they haven't really done much. But you have Coyle, who's scoring a ton. Granlund's contributing meaningful shifts.
Koivu has been lately.
Koivu.
Koivu's Parisi and Staal.
Yep. Right. Staal's been a big win, obviously. He's having a hell of a rebound year. So you're getting it from just about... But, you know, there's guys like Dumba, who you expected to be growing, and he's about the only one who's one of the few people that aren't really giving much to this team right now. At least in the far in the way of what we'd expect for offensive contribution.
Yeah. I mean, to go along with that, I mean, we have had more offense from the team. I mean, basically, if you look at it this year, they're on a pace to score about 258 goals this year.
They lead the West in goals.
Yeah.
And they lead the West in goals against. As far as fewest.
Right.
So it's
that's a pretty good combo.
There was when I looked, there was nobody even close to the differential in the West.
Yeah, I mean, we're at 85 goals given up. Next closest team is at 90. Next closest after that is 99. So there's only three teams with less than 100 goals given up, and we're 15 below that. So that's a pretty good spot to be in at this point, you know?
It is. And, I mean, last year, I think in total they had 216 goals, I think, all season. So, really, I think offensively we're doing pretty well. Probably a big part of our success. You guys think that's Boudreaux's system, or is it the young players like Coyle, Niederreiter, and, you know, like Halla stepping up now? Or
It's definitely that. You got to wonder how much of this is just Boudreaux system, though. I mean,
yeah, is he making them successful by
something that, you know, maybe he's getting to him like Yo wasn't able to.
Yeah.
So, you know? So McHugh's wondering how Vanek would have done with these new coaches.
He probably would still be skating.
although hasn't he been doing okay for Detroit?
I think he's been doing all right. Yeah, but what does that mean? You know.
Well, Detroit's not really doing too hot, so. You know,
right.
You can be the captain of a sinking ship, and that ship is still sinking.
Yep. That's the true. Yeah.
So who's been your biggest surprise then of the year so far with the Wild?
You know, I think Koivu's actually, you know, coming back.
You weren't expecting that out of him this year?
No, I mean, right now he's second next to Staal and Coyle for most goals, which, I mean, we usually don't see him that far up there. He's 28 points on the season. We're, what, just under halfway done right now?
Yep, 39 games we've played.
So, I mean, you know, at this pace, he could be close to a 60-point season.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if we've seen that from Koivu, have we?
I don't know. You know, but I'm going to say, you know, judging on your guys' opinion of Granlund from our top 33 Wild players of all time, you both had Granlund pretty low. So I would think both you would have to say you're pretty surprised by Granlund's performance this year.
You know, that's good job going back. Here, I thought you were looking up Koivu's points, and you're looking at stuff to throw back in our face.
He's under the bus.
You get under the bus. I feel like an oil spot right now.
I guess one of
them. Or like those, go ahead. Remember those, oh, God, it's just going to date me here. The film strips that they show, like, in elementary school, where, like, the kids are, like, falling under the bus in the winter season.
They even had those in Driver's Ed for me.
Did they?
Well, not the kids falling under the bus, but
they had, basically. They had film back then?
Yeah, in the driving simulators.
They had film and simulators back then?
I didn't get.
Yeah.
I got film.
Really?
I didn't get. Yeah. I never had a driving simulator. When did you get your license? 28?
I got it out of a Cracker Jack box.
When? When you were 28?
Back at the height of the Depression.
I tell you.
So Koivu has had 260-point and 170-point season.
But those were a while ago, weren't they?
08 through 11, actually, it's three consecutive years. It's 67, 71, and 62.
So it's been half a decade since we've had that kind of performance out of him.
I mean, he's come close. He's had, like, mid-50s, but, yeah.
But I don't know. I think Coyle's had a great year. I agree. I had almost given up on him as far as becoming someone more than just a big body that couldn't do much with that body. I still don't think he's really doing a whole lot physically, but he's scoring, so yeah, it's hard to argue with the results.
I'm pretty sure he leads the Wild in goals, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So Jive, was Henry Ford your driver's ed teacher? People are asking.
Boy. I tell you what. So I'm going to go on and I'm going to talk
about... Don't you love this chat window?
Yeah.
This live interaction?
My surprise of the season actually is probably not on the good side, but more on the bad side, actually. I'm kind of disappointed, actually, in how, like, Scandella and Follin are working out.
I think Follin's had a pretty good... I've been all right with Follin. Scandella, I don't think, had a very good season. Like I said, Dumba, I don't think Dumba's had a very good season.
Yeah.
I mean, Dumba, you want him to score points, and he's not scoring points. He better be solid defensively, and he hasn't been terribly great.
He's got 16 points on the season right now. He's got 6 goals, 10 assists, which is 4 times the amount of points that Scandella has at 2-2.
Yeah, but Dumba's getting more power play minutes, so, you know... Okay. If you're getting first line power play minutes, you better be scoring points. You know, even secondary assists on that on those power plays.
Well, and you mentioned the power play. I mean, I think that's actually coming around, and that's another big surprise I've had this year. I've always, you know, come to expect us to be good on the penalty kill, but I don't recall a time when we've been necessarily a powerhouse on the power play, but
it's been a while.
It has. And if you remember how poor it was in the beginning of the season, didn't we go, wasn't it 0-20 or
not quite as bad as
it feels like every year? It feels like every year over the last like 4 years we've had these spells where it's just like, oh, I guess we're not scoring on the power play anymore.
But I think we got out of it a lot quicker this year than we did last year. Because I thought last year it ended up going into like almost December before we saw something.
Well, I'll even say, you know, look at the, was it the Los Angeles game? Yeah, where we scored, we pulled, I think it was Kemper in net. We pulled him and we scored the tie-up goal, you know, right. with an empty net. And it feels like it's been forever. Ever since we've had an empty net, a pulled goalie goal to catch up.
Their numbers have actually been fairly decent this year with an empty net. I think they've only given up.
Well, that's the other side. Yeah, I'm saying
how many they've given up.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm saying when we've pulled a goalie and actually scored,
it's worked out.
Yeah,
right.
But that number I think has been like decent.
I mean, we've been doing a lot better here. Thank you, Teresa.
Boom! Chat's gone.
Boom.
Now I don't have to listen to you guys talk about me driving some damn Model T.
My chat window is still going. I still see stuff. So while Aaron's trying to get the chat back, Jive, what else happened over the past 2 weeks? Or is that all of it?
That's, we ended our streak. I mean, we had several more wins in there. We did lose to the Blue Jackets and we lost to the Kings.
Still got a point.
Kings, yeah, we still got a point out of that. Even
a 5-point California road trip, you can't really argue too much with
heading
that.
Out to the west, no, you definitely.
I mean, we've had better. I think we had a 3-game sweep. One other time, I think Bruce had said that. But still, 5 points.
Yeah,
you know, I'll take that.
We definitely will. We still need to keep scraping and clawing for those points because somehow. As good as the Wild have been over the past, you know, month and a half here, we're still, you know, clawing to get above Chicago there.
Well, Chicago's had extra games in hand on us, I think, for quite a while. And that's kind of where it's been, that slow climb, because we would win, but Chicago would win, so there's that distance that was always staying there.
Yeah.
However, with that, the Wild do have the winningest win percentage right now, which is why... Coach Bruce Boudreau is going to be coaching the Western Conference in the All-Star game and not Joe Quenneville.
Good.
Yeah.
Although Quenneville might, you know, do the ball grab thing.
The crotch grabbing.
So, all right. Well, should we get into the weekly wild card?
Yeah, we got all some right. stuff. So first, as it was alluded to in the intro, the World Juniors happened, or the finals, I guess, the championship game happened over the last.
Was it wrapped up on Saturday?
Yeah, because it was during the Wild game against L.A. No.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's right.
Was it the, yes, it was.
Yeah.
So the U.S. took gold, Canada silver, Russia bronze.
Who won?
U.S. Who got silver? Canada.
Oh. I don't know where that one is right now.
Man, Jeff, I thought you had your finger on the trigger of something. I thought you were ready to go.
Come on.
Come on. I can't read.
Do it.
I'm stupid. Come on. I'm Canadian and I love cigarettes.
All right. Close enough.
There it is.
I'm stupid. I'm Canadian and I love cigarettes.
You just got to say it and it'll pop up.
I might be from Canada.
Maybe.
Fucking chat.
So... the Wild had three prospects going on in the top 10. Wow, apparently we got too many people going. We're getting popular, and YouTube can't handle it anymore.
Way to go, YouTube.
So Wild, though, had three prospects in the top 10 in scoring for the tournament. Was it Kirill? Is that right? Kirill? Kaprizov?
That was Kirill.
Kirill Kaprizov. 9 goals, 3 assists, 12 points. Joel Eriksson Ek, who we did get to see a little bit, with the Wild this year.
Yep.
He had 6 goals, 3 assists, 9 points. And Jordan Greenway with 3 goals, 5 assists, and 8 points. So are we done again?
Wow.
So Kaprizov was named best forward of the tournament. No other Wild prospect has won that unless you include Parisi's MVP back in 2004. So, yeah, guys, we got some good scoring going on. Definitely. With some of these Wild prospects. I believe Kaprizov has one more year in the KHL.
Yes, that he is committed to.
So maybe if, as long as he doesn't, you know, get hurt or die in a plane crash, hopefully we get to see him.
Way to take an upbeat right. view on this here.
No kidding.
You know,
let's hope he doesn't locomotive it.
Oh. So the... oh, man. That's a bummer that's not working.
Yeah.
So the U.S.-Canada championship game. I mean, I'm still seeing stuff pop up in like our external chat window.
Yeah, we got regular chat working, but it ain't showing up.
Did you guys try popping the chat window out and maybe being able to just chat? I know it looks like some people are still in there. So the U.S.-Canada championship game, it went into overtime after some good comebacks by the U.S. at... You know, some solid play.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a full 20-minute sudden death period, and then it went into a shootout. And Twitter was kind of a buzz about how a medals game should not be concluded with the skills competition.
That was a real bummer. Real bummer.
So, you know, even though...
And is it correct that you can send the same person out again and again?
Well,
After the first five.
After the first five?
Yeah.
So they ended up winning
fuck
it.
Fuck this chat.
Sorry. 1-0 in the shootout. So it was pretty solid goaltending.
Yeah.
On both sides. So even though they are juniors, I mean, should the IIHF let them play a full sudden death periods until somebody wins? Or, I mean, do you think they should keep it at one period and then going into a shootout like that?
I think, well, in my opinion, I guess, for a medal round like that, you do want to play it out in an actual game of hockey. I guess I've kind of expressed how I feel about, you know, the shootout even in the NHL. I think it's too soon, you know, basically, that they go to that.
Well, you would expect in a title game, you don't have to, it's not going to be decided by a skills competition, you know? Yeah. I think the bigger thing would be, you know, why don't they adopt like the NHL is doing it with the cut it from 5-on-5 to 3-on-3 or 4-on-4 to 3-on-3, you know, without all that ice opened up, things are going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
Because that's what they, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember right, the Olympics, for all the qualifying games, it was one full period and then shootout? Or did they do NHL rules where it was like a shortened period?
It was a 20-minute.
A full 20-minute, yeah. But it went to a shootout.
Right after that.
But any of the medal games or championship games, it was full-on sudden death. Or it was full sudden death, no shootout, correct?
No, it was still one. Or you're saying in the past?
This last year the last Olympics, I thought they got rid of the shootout for the medal games.
I think you're right.
It was only the qualifying games that they would do a shootout in.
I think you're right.
I don't know. I
Jalisco will know.
I remember back to high school hockey tournaments, and you know, you'd be watching a hockey game that was starting at 9 o'clock at night, and those boys are playing, and then it gets to be so long because they're still going, and so you go to bed, but you wake up in the morning and you hear they went to like 20 periods or something like that. I mean, duel it out and play it. I mean, that's part of the sport.
That's actually a good point, Jive, because I remember a few years back, I think it was in Michigan with their high school hockey tourney, which I guess is like, second to Minnesota's,
yeah.
And maybe somewhere in the East Coast. But they ended up having like a game go into like 12 overtime periods, and the parents, yeah, like they had shut down the concession stands. They had to reopen them, and parents were actually going to like the grocery stores and the convenience stores to get like Gatorade and stuff for their kids and bananas, right, and just keep them going.
But that's part of a sport as well, is your endurance. And
high school kids.
Well, right. But in any of these, levels, you need to be able to endure longer than the other team. You need to be able to endure the onslaught of their shots, and they need to be able to, withstand yours. And whoever endures longer wins, except when you turn it into a skills competition.
So IIHF for the World Juniors should get rid of the shootout.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So at least for any medal games or any type of bracket game.
Agreed.
So, also, for any of you that had watched the Wild game last night, man, NBC Sports is really kind of, I don't know who they're trying to go after these days, but they had the most unuseful of stats taking up real estate during the Anaheim game last night. It was a shift timer for Ryan Suter and Ryan Kessel. Because Stars Sunday?
It was the Ryan Tracker.
Yeah, the Ryan Tracker. Stars Sunday, I think, is what they're labeling it as. Like Wednesday night rivalry.
Real rivalry.
Yeah. So, it wasn't like a total time on ice for the game. It was an actual shift time on ice.
Nice.
Like one of the most... Yeah, I just need to know how long the guy's been skating for this time. Not... this did not seem to go over well with Minnesota fans watching... watching Twitter, us included. FSN, they've got a shots on goal counter that hardly takes up any space, and in my opinion, a way more useful stat.
Yeah.
So
I'm not that shots on goal is some sort of panacea of hockey statistic, but it's nice to if you're just looking and want to see,
get a quick
view of what team is kind of leading play, it's a good indicator.
Yeah. How offensive a team's been, or defensive as well.
Right.
So, all right, what stat or stats would you guys like to continually see throughout a game, obviously besides score, but is there something other than maybe shots on goal that you would like to be able to look up and see at any given point?
Shot attempts, would I be okay with that?
Okay.
I think we have a lot of shots that, it goes out the end board or it's close or, it's not counted as a shot on goal, but...
How about this for your shot attempts? They just start marking on the ice around where the shots have been attempted from.
Like Fox Tracker?
Yeah.
Fox Tracker?
Just leave it up there.
It's just, littered with dots all over the place.
Yeah. Are there any game stats you wouldn't mind seeing, like, on a regular basis? Like, not something continually, but, like, you know, every, like, maybe minute or a couple minutes, it just pops up.
I'm going to go back to the shot attempts. Scoring chances is another one I think is...
Or quality scoring chances.
I wouldn't mind seeing block shots.
Block shots. I feel like we see that a little bit, but not with any sort of regularity.
Like not while the game's in play usually, though. Right. Not like a stat up by the ticker.
No.
You know, I'm talking like something that'd be up at the ticker, like if they had, you know, currently like how FSN has goals, shots on goals, and then maybe have something like the Ryan trackers where it pops up underneath briefly, like, you know, shot attempts or block shots or, you know, like maybe a third bar.
Haagen-Dazs consumed.
Haagen-Dazs consumed.
Well, that's over the fans out in the stands, right?
I was going to go over Boudreaux.
Over just Boudreaux.
Right.
Well, how about that? How about if we go, you know, EA Sports style and, you know, you get like the player name above them when they're skating around on the ice.
Oh, man, that could take
a... And below it, just below their name, it tells you like how many shots they've had.
You better hope that NBC is not listening to this right now.
They're going to steal my idea.
You're going to have guys skating around with Arby's hats over above them saying, I'm thinking Arby's.
Teresa said face-off percentage.
Yeah. Well, we get that a little bit, but not...
That would actually be something that, like, that intermeet, like, the not continual, but as they go to a face-off, just showing both teams' face-off percentage during the face-off.
I would like to see that, you know, you could do so much more with showing, you know, who is better.
Context aware now. See, right. Now we're talking, so now the players with their names on top of them, you know, say Koivu and somebody else is going in.
Is it going to light up with a star, whoever has the puck?
Well, yeah, of course. That's simple stuff. But above Koivu, when he goes down for the face-off, it's going to maybe have his shots, but then it's also going to have his face-off percentage.
Well, that's the thing, though. Baseball's had, you know, the batting average before every at-bat for
every player.
Decades.
Oh, yeah.
Decades.
Yeah.
What the hell is, you know, why isn't any other, well... Why hasn't hockey figured that out, that we can have more statistics and it's all right, you know?
Well, NBC's working on it. They're just putting up the wrong ones.
They're like, we're going to get real granular on these guys. And
what's this toy stuff? We like toys.
Well, as Aaron's going to talk about here shortly, we've got a couple of NBC sports games coming up.
Yeah.
We got one on Thursday and one on Sunday. So, is Sunday going to be another Star Sunday, and who's it going to be? But any speculation on what other unuseful stat they'll display on either of those games?
I got to say, I really think it's odd that we haven't had a single goddamn NBC sports game up until Sunday. And now, within an eight-day period, four games, we'll have three with NBC sports. I mean, could they not space us out a little bit so we don't get Pierre overload?
Well, hey, Aaron, I think...
So we don't get Pierre'd off?
This kind of works out for us for our birthday game. It's an NBC sports game, so maybe we'll be in spitting distance of Pierre and use his head as a target.
It could happen.
Yeah.
You're going to spit on the penis? So, oh,
God. I'll give it a little spit shine. Nope.
I don't know where we go from there.
I don't even remember what we were talking about. Let's move on.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Yeah, let's do the
what's upcoming.
Upcoming week.
Right, here we go.
So on Thursday we got the Canadiens at home. Again, that's NBC Sports broadcast. Saturday, Sunday, we have another back-to-back since we have like a zillion of them through the end of the year.
It gets worse.
We have Stars on the road and then Blackhawks on the road. First time, I think, this year, right?
In Chicago?
I think it's the first time we've seen them all year.
I think so.
Yeah. So, should be interesting. We got a little divisional matchups here that we haven't really seen, so...
And the records going in there might, you know...
I could
make things flip flop there a little bit.
Very well could. You
know, we'll have to see.
Okay. Let's.
We got a lot of Twitter questions. Let's do these
Twitter lightning round. Why not? Okay. First question: Derek Falska at State of Hockey News. Which Wild Prospects performance at the World Junior Championships was the most impressive to you?
I think the obvious is going to be Kiprasov.
Kaprizov?
Kaprizov, yes.
Not Kiprasov?
I wasn't looking at the name, and I could not think of it. Yes.
It's hard to argue with that. You know, I would say the one who kind of flew under the radar was Jordan Greenway, and he had a really good tournament. I mean, arguably better than Cunnan, so...
Sure.
Despite Cunnan being the captain of the team, so...
It's hard to argue with the production, though. I'd have to go with Kirill, too.
And he gets the top four to the tournament, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next question. It comes in from Felska at State of Hockey News. If the Minnesota Wild still had Brent Burns, mind you, we wouldn't have Coyle, would we be a legit Stanley Cup contender? Go.
I don't think it would have changed things a whole lot, only because I think that means we wouldn't have Pominville, because we'd have that cap space issue. We may have not had Vanek last year. I don't know. I think it's a huge what if, and it changes the trajectory of this team completely. I'm going to say no, it doesn't change.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. I think Burns kind of got to develop a little bit more his style outside of the Minnesota coaching regime, and had he still been here, he might have been a little bit more handcuffed to develop his abilities.
And I have to agree. I don't think that it would have changed much in way of anything being any better. I definitely think that, you know, we mentioned it earlier, Coyle's been producing some points this year, and, you know, some of that's finally working out. But there's a lot of other moving parts in that whole piece that, you know, have changed since then that... You know, I don't know that it would have had a good effect to have Burns around here, as much as I'd still like to have him around here.
Yeah, I would like to have him, but I think it would have to be, you know, under today's coaching,
yeah,
where he could actually take advantage of his style of play.
And who knows, it might have been too late for his career.
Exactly.
At this point. So.
Last question from Mr. Derek Felska. 2 weeks ago, you were given some nasty Norwegian double zoot licorice. Which NHL player's game best fits that bad taste? And for those of you that didn't see, thank you, Teresa, for this lovely double stout Norwegian licorice that looks way better than it tastes.
Ugh. Ugh. So real quick, well, name off a name. I'm going to go with Matt Martin for the Islanders because I think he's just a dirtbag.
I think Gabrick's play this year has been absolutely horrible.
What are you thinking?
Boy, I'm going to probably have to go with... I'm going to come and bring it back home. I have been really, really disappointed with his play this year, and that's Scandell. He's leaving a bad taste in my mouth. Next question.
Next question from Ben Mitchum at Ben Mitchum. What do you see as a good ballpark point number for the Wild to secure a playoff spot this season? I think traditionally, what do they say?
Anything over any three digit will pretty much guarantee
three digits,
spot.
And you're set. 95, and you're looking good. You're looking pretty good. I'm gonna say, I think that the West is way weaker this year. I think 95 gets you in pretty easily, actually.
I would say 95 gets you in, and I would say maybe 115, 120 is a guaranteed conference topper.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. All right, let's go on to the next question. It comes in from Tom Hohen at T-Hohen 88. That sounded bad, no, didn't it?
I mean, I guess it's better than T Bagging 88.
Thoen 88. There we go. GMCF makes one move at the deadline. What is it?
Retire.
Try to move Pominville, whatever he can do.
He's still got the. I mean, he's gonna have to sweeten the pot because he's got the no trade clause.
He's got the no movement clause. You gotta see if he can move that. I mean, odds are Pominville wouldn't waive anything unless unless his ice time is dramatically reduced. But that might be what you have to do. Because that's going to be an anchor hanging around our necks for a while.
Or does he make a move with, one of these promising young, younger players who, we might have a problem protecting them all anyways, and make a move for maybe a veteran or two.
You could try.
That's going to come in here and help us for a cup run.
You could try to move Scandella or Dumba even, is the guys that... Yeah. Have upside still, but maybe are struggling a little this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
I think if anybody moves off of the current line, it's probably going to be a D.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I can't be convinced on that. I don't know that we have that much depth at D that we want to be handing away anything at this point.
I don't think you'd be handing away. I think that's what would be moved, though.
Yeah.
All right. So Steve Secor at SJ Secor asks, will anyone ever make it through an entire game on the Stahl Parisi line? I don't know. I don't know if it's so much their line that they have issues with, or if it's trying to connect with like the third line.
Or it's just putting the hot hand with those guys because they seem to do all right on their own.
Right.
So, doesn't really matter who you put there.
Maybe it's just spreading the wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, will anybody make it through an entire game?
Probably.
I think if you get that line starting off super hot in the first, as long as it continues, but I think Boudreau is more apt to take that luxury away from somebody than.
Well, that in the last handful of games, we've had some adversity. So he's had to do a little bit of lineup shuffling.
Just to match.
Just to get through. And there's going to be a game where the Wild are cruising, and that line will probably stay intact. That's going to be my guess.
Yep. And if not, heaven forbid some injuries or anything like that happens, we will... be well able to play with each other because everybody will have had an opportunity.
Next question, Chris Frost at MN Frosty Boy. Who do the Wild need to keep an eye on in their rear mirror? Ghost of Season Pass or other central teams? Well, technically in their rear mirror is...
St. Louis right now.
Well, I'm going to say the Blackhawks because technically Blackhawks, from a percentage view.
Yeah.
Are they rear mirror or are you kind of like... trying to pass them, and they're the assholes that, as you go to get around them, start putting their foot on the gas.
Yes, as you're trying to get on the on-ramp, they're the ones who are speeding up not to let you in.
Exactly.
When you've got that merge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No Minnesota nice?
No. That's how they drive in Chicago. They're all assholes.
Right.
I thought that was Boston. Oh, those are massholes.
Those are massholes, yeah.
Sorry.
St. Louis, maybe, I guess.
As far as like rear view mirror, yeah, I mean
the whole West is so down right now.
I'm watching out for Colorado. Okay. I kid.
That's because you're always running late and you're seeing them as you're coming up.
Right.
All right. Next.
Next question comes in from Josh O. Joshua 669958. Let's see here. Do you trust the Wild are for real this year?
I think so. I mean, if anything, Boudreau knows how to make a playoff team.
And playoff team.
A playoff team.
Yep.
And I think that they are a definite contender, at least for taking over making it pretty deep in the West. Yeah. I think we can handle the West. The play against the East, that is still kind of to be determined right now.
If Dubnyk can stay healthy, this team is for real. Because when you got a goalie like Dubnyk playing like Dubnyk's been playing,
Yeah. You're
going to have a tough time against that team, period.
I can't disagree with that. As long as Dubnyk, continues to play like he has been, that's going to keep the Wild in a lot of games. And, it's hard to find a championship team that didn't have great goaltending down the stretch. That said, you hope that the streak, or it's not just a streak, you hope that he's able to maintain that level of play, heaven forbid, knock on wood, no injury or anything like that happens. It's a long season. There's plenty to go. But, even if you go beyond that, I think that Kemper has shown he can play still. He still doesn't get maybe quite as much support. But I think that, with our goaltending situation, it's solid. And I think that we're getting production from all around, from all the different, all the different lines. We're getting everybody scoring. So, I got to think it's for real.
All right. Holla for a dollar at Finisotan 12.
Holla.
Thoughts on the jersey redesign. Thoughts on what the jersey redesign will be for next year. So a little backstory on this for those that haven't heard. Starting in the 2017-18 season, Adidas has taken over jersey production for the NHL. And at least as of now, doing away with the third jersey and not doing much redesign as far as like the style of the jersey, primarily changing fabric to what they used in the Olympics.
And it should be noted that Adidas owns Reebok, so that's probably part of the reason there's not going to be a whole lot of change.
Currently, I think 18 teams have alternate sweaters that they'll end up dropping.
Yep.
So, redesign. Obviously, the Wild have to get rid of one of their dark sweaters.
Right.
I'm really hoping that they stick with the greens.
I got to figure they're getting rid of the reds.
I mean, that's kind of been their MO ever since they've had an alternate, is their alternate, that design kind of goes into their home, and then they drop their old home, and then...
I'm okay with red becoming just like a secondary color and mainly going green and white, or green and wheat,
Green is definitely a Minnesota hockey color.
Yep. We've got a slight affinity towards it.
So I really hope that they stick with the green.
No opinion.
Yeah, I can't have much more of an opinion than that on it. Besides, if they wanted to tame down the logo, their main logo a little bit.
The
head.
That one.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
The one that's spinning right now on our.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
So
it's busy.
Yeah.
Last question from Jay Bushy at jbushy19. What's a realistic point projection for the Wild on about a 115 point pace? The schedule for last month is brutal.
And brutal is putting it lightly.
Right.
As I was going through looking at this, so March 5th through the end of the season, April 8th, there is not more than one day between games with four sets of back-to-backs, including one where they have a 1 o'clock puck drop here against Vancouver. And the following day is an 11:30 a.m. Central Time puck drop in Detroit. So it's a 22.5-hour difference between game starts. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Thank you, World Cup.
It's going to be tough. Looking at some of the teams that they're playing at the current pace, I think the schedule's not going to be as difficult as the actual schedule itself, if that makes the teams that they're playing, their records, they're not going to be in any type of playoff position that they're going to be fighting for points.
But like we did say, we've got a lot of games against Chicago left.
We do,
and that's going to be a rough part, I think.
Yeah, and it could benefit us, in more ways though. If if Chicago is the one that we end up, you know, dueling out that top position in the conference with, if that is the case, and hey, if we end up with Chicago's number again, you know, I mean, was that last year or the year before that we
like, lost to Chicago? That's been the past four.
No. But the one of the seasons during the regular season, I believe that we maybe lost once to them all season.
Well, maybe it won't be a bad thing though if, you know, we're first and they're second or vice versa.
That would be good.
That means we're not gonna, if we do meet them in the playoffs, it probably won't be till a later round.
I was just thinking the same thing. If we're sitting 1-2 as the top two teams, that actually probably work out in our favor with a chance of them getting knocked out by somebody else.
Or if we are sitting close and we can win some games against them, we can create some space. And then we don't have to worry about those back-to-backs as much.
Well, no, we're talking playoffs, though. Like, meeting them in the playoffs, because that's... Having us 1-2 or 2-1 is probably going to be preferable.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So, I think there you have it. Twitter Talk.
Keep those questions coming. It's great.
Kenny, where can people find you?
Pretty much at NostraKennius on Twitter, Instagram. That's where the majority of my socializing happens.
Humanga's big.
Talking to some of the kids, and they're like, oh, we're on Snapchat and 15 other apps. And what are you talking about?
Shut up!
Pretty much.
And Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
You can find me. I'm on Twitter as well. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you know what? You can really find me. Twitter is probably the best place. I'm at Angry Finn. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inthebox. If you got questions for us, send us those tweets with a hashtag 3ITB, and we'll probably read them on the show we just went through. You can listen to our podcast at 3inthebox.com or through your favorite podcast player. If you got iTunes, go out there.
Did Google Music go through yet?
Yeah, we're on Google Play Music. We're everywhere. But rate our show. That'll help us get viewers and, you know, viewers, listeners, and all the above. And then next week we should have some special announcement regarding the podcast, so stay tuned with that. So I think that's it. Have a good night, folks.